Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. Given an opportunity, we'll try to respond to anything you get in late, but the clock is ticking, as they say. Joining us now, he is the returning champion of the Jeff Porch Show, and I'd like to welcome any other and all listeners from the Alabama Legislature tuning in to hear this segment. But State Senator Chris Elliott joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day here in South Alabama, and glad to be back out of Montgomery. It's always good to be back home.
You don't miss that black mold.
You know, the other day when it was storming so bad, I don't think anybody in the state house knew, because you can't, there's so few windows in that place to even see out. You don't know if it's daylight or dark or raining or sunny.
Yeah, I was in there actually Wednesday during the storm, and I had no idea how bad it was. I guess it would take something of an act of God to unearth that building anyway, so you're probably at least from a tornado probably fairly safe.
Well, it's not where I want to end my life, I can promise you that.
You're not alone there. Speaking of state house proceedings, well, here we are, another day out of the way. What, 9 legislative days left? The clock is ticking.
That's correct.
The clock is ticking, and there's a lot of outstanding business, it seems.
There really are a ton of things, and that is my one concern, is just managing workload. Of course, you know, when we get hooked up and running, and you saw that this week when the Senate had a 41 bill calendar. You know, when you get to the point where things have been worked out, and the rules chairman and the leadership team, pro tem and his staff, really get together on how can we make this run smoothly and get a lot of work accomplished in a relatively short period of time, it works well. It just only requires one small hiccup to cause a problem, but it is encouraging to know that we can do that when we need to, because we're going to need to. You know, like you said, 9 days left, legislative days left. It's just over 4 more weeks. Assuming no 3-day weeks, and that means, you know, we'll have a lot to do. We still have very few sunset bills remaining. We have a ton of confirmations. I was talking with Chairman Weaver, Senator Weaver, the other day. I think she's got 80-some confirmations she's still got to get through. So it's just things that take up time on the clock. No local bills yet to speak of, so we've got all kinds of local bills that are important to members that we'll have to work on. And then, you know, the usual back and forth between the chambers about how many House bills versus how many Senate bills have been passed and of what import they are. So it's a sprint to the end, but I'm afraid the sprint's going to be uphill.
Well, tell me, the confirmations, do you have to do those one by one, or can you do like a package of confirmations?
You really have to do it one by one. So they come up, one at a time. And of course, you know that, you know, every member has the opportunity to speak on those confirmations. And so, you know, if the Senate is not humming along and you have, you know, the Democrats frustrated, or, you know, as you saw with the budget the other day, a number of members that were frustrated with the general fund budget, you know, you get up and start talking on the budget, and it can really slow things down. And with that many confirmations, you know, you get to speak on each one of them, and that could effectively stall the Senate. So keeping things, you know, moving is really where the pro tem shines, and I think what will likely, you know, be his focus, you know, between now and the end of session.
Talk to me about this workforce package. I hear, like, especially the innovation district's got some problems. Any resolution to moving those things along?
I think there are. I mean, it's legislation that really was introduced towards the middle end of the session. There are some questions that I think are certainly valid that we need to look at and we need to consider. You know, y'all, I think, reported on some of those. We certainly had some discussions. Oh, hold on just a second. What's this? And let's look at it. And I think those were wisely carried over the other day on the floor, so there can be some additional work on that. And there's some of those, that package that is less complicated, if you will. And I think those either have already or will move move very quickly through the process. But some of these bigger, more complicated pieces of legislation will take some time. The good news is once those solutions are found, you know, they can move fairly quickly. They're already out of committee upstairs. They need the floor, and then, you know, 2 days downstairs, and they'll be good to go.
Well, speaking of complicated and hard, you got two marquee pieces of legislation, whether or not you find them marquee. They are in the media eyes. Ethics and gambling. Let's start with ethics. You got the House bill upstairs now. Do we even know what the future has in store here?
That's an interesting question. I think members are digging in on that legislation and giving it the attention it deserves. You know, Matt Simpson, Representative Simpson's done a lot of work on that. He's taken a lot of shots, and to his credit, his shot right back, which I wouldn't expect anything less from him. It's a tough piece of legislation, they had the push to get it through the House, and I congratulate him on that. But there are a number of senators that are really digging in on it and looking at it and trying to decide is this something we're up for and interested in getting involved in. So we'll have to see. It's working its way through the process slowly. A lot's going to depend on who the sponsor is upstairs, who he has carrying it on the floor. And I'm not certain of that answer right now. So we'll have to see how that happens. And then, you know, of course, I haven't heard the governor weigh in on it, and I'd be interested to see where she's going to be on the legislation as well.
Well, Wednesday we had your colleague Sam Gavan on. He argues that you don't necessarily need a Senate sponsor. I mean, is that feasible?
Yeah, so I think typical politician, right? I think both things can be true. Somebody has to handle the bill on the floor. So there will have to be somebody at the microphone, you know, saying, "Mr. President, I'm here presenting this legislation, and I'm going to, you know, move to pass it." And so that can be a very simple parliamentary function, if you will. But that whoever that individual is has to be willing and able to stand at the mic and handle that legislation on the floor and take questions and amendments and explain the legislation. And so, you know, we call it a sponsor, but, you know, that somebody's going to have to do that and fill that role. And so it could be fairly easy to get through, but it also could be complicated. Matt can certainly present the legislation, and I think this will go to judiciary, so he can certainly handle that. But on the floor, it's going to take a senator.
So he couldn't come on the floor of the Senate and be at the and take questions, could he?
He cannot. No, he can be on the floor. He can certainly talk to senators on the floor, as we can do in the House. But it's got to be a senator standing at the microphone making the motions. And it's got to be a senator that's, you know, ready, willing, and able to answer questions, consider amendments, and make motions. And so that's, you know, that person's got to be identified.
Gambling, is it still the same place it was? I mean, I know you have some conferees now. It's still in the basket, but where does Pro Tem Reed says Tuesday? Do you still feel the same way you felt about it when you were on Dale's show on Monday?
I think it is still a tough piece of legislation there are just huge differences between the House and Senate. And listening to the press on it, I think those differences remain. I think you're correct on your timing that the conferees have at least been discussed, if not officially appointed. I do think that the legislation will come out of the basket on Tuesday, so the conferees can officially discuss that and see what they come out with. And I hate to oversimplify it, but I think it's going to be just a matter of, you know, let's wait, let's see what the conference committee comes up with. Let it work its way through the process. And then it'll get back to the floor for consideration in both the House and the Senate. It'll go back to the House first for their vote on whether or not they're going to concur with the House, or with the conference committee report. And then it'll come to the Senate for us to consider. And so, it's a matter of what's in it and what's not, and how different it is, you know, in the House from the House version, and how different it is in the Senate from the Senate version. That's a hard needle to thread, but it's part of the process. And when things get tough, we always turn back to it's process, and there's a rule for that, and we'll make our way through it. And then it just comes down to the ayes and nays as always.
But realistically, 9 days does seem like that is long odds.
Well, I'm not sure the days necessarily on this particular issue are the challenge. I mean, the legislation is known and understood very well, in my opinion, by members. Certainly, I can speak to the senators, and I think that they understand and they've got it. And then it's just a matter of what are you including and what are you not including. You know, are we adding back sports gaming? Are we adding back, you know, casinos? What are they adding back, and does that lose you a vote or get you a vote? And so I think it's just a matter of looking at the legislation once it comes back out, or the conference committee report, and see what's in it. And then members can make up their decision from there. But I don't know that it's one of those things that's going to take, you know, all this time to work out. I think it actually may happen fairly quickly.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Just a few more minutes here. Budgets, so you got general fund done. How you feel about it?
I feel pretty good about it. You know, it's constrained again. You know, a $3.3 billion general fund budget. As we've talked about before, so much of that is just required, if you will, right? It's ALDOT funding. It's Medicaid funding. It's these things that just take up resources. And then there's room to nibble around the edges. And so you saw that process kind of, you know, unfold this week on the floor, yesterday on the floor. So I think Chairman Albritton did a good job with it, listed the members' requests, while making sure that we are, you know, very fiscally responsible. This state is in a better fiscal position, than it has ever been in. And when you start comparing it to where other states are, gosh, we're really in good shape. I mean, coming out of COVID, having the reserve accounts that we have, the budgets and fiscal conservatism have certainly ruled the day since the Republicans took over in 2010, and it's continuing on. I do think, you know, in the future, there's going to be some economic downturn. This inflation is starting to hit. Things cost more. Our buying power is reduced, just like everybody at home. And so that's going to be a problem. And we certainly see that rearing its head with road projects around the state right now, and prison projects and other things like that.
Well, the one that I think is going to be problematic if something, and you know, what's going to happen with the prison project? I mean, they're going to have to come back for more money on Escambia County. I don't know where that is with the federal courts and Department of Justice, but, you know, there was a sense of urgency 3 years ago almost. Wow. Are you guys braced for something like that potentially down the road?
We are. I mean, we're going to have to continue to spend what we need to spend on these prison projects. Now, I have some doubts about the procurement method and the way we've gone about, you know, executing these projects. But at the end of the day, we have to do this. And it is a function of government. It's a public safety function of government. We just absolutely must do it. And so you will see, you know, more money, more state revenues going to prisons in the near future, probably over the next quadrennium, continuing to allocate more money to prison infrastructure. And I think that as long as we are doing that, that the feds are going to, you know, stay away. They don't want any part of this. They want us to fix our problem, and we sure are spending money like crazy to attempt to fix it. And as long as we're doing that, I think they stay at bay.
Well, I had a conversation with Representative Lipscomb about this. You may be aware, but this the design build and the state's experiment with that. Does design build need to be just kind of just not done anymore for state projects?
It's got some problems. It works really well, and I'm a general contractor by trade, so I'm familiar with the process, certainly. And it works very well in the private sector, especially when time and speed is of the essence. I'm just not sure that it's suited for the public sector. It doesn't, the times we have tried this just don't seem to work that well. And I don't know if that's a budgetary problem from the beginning where we just we look at what the political reality is and say, yeah, it'll cost that much because that's how much we can go get. And then we try to convince ourselves of that in the design process, and then we end up never building it because, or we build half of it. Prisons are a good example, right? Because we're so far off on the budget on the front end. So there, we've got a couple of really, I guess I could say, bad examples of what not to do with that, using that process. And we really probably need to look at where our failings were before we go down that path again, because it's clearly not worked out as well as many had hoped.
Well, Representative Lipscomb thinks that, had you gone with the bid-build process on these prisons, I mean, who knows what the final price tag would have been when they were bid out, but you'd be much further along now than you would have been under this regime.
Yeah, and I think there is some truth to that. You know, what's being left out of that, of course, is the time that it takes to design. And I've always laughed at design professionals, and Representative Lipscomb's an architect, right? And I'm a contractor, and so we pick at each other sometimes about how it takes architects as long to draw something as it does for me to build something sometimes. But you do have a greater level of certainty in cost. And so I think the impetus behind this push for design build is costs are escalating. Let's do the design in an iterative method at the same time that we're doing the starting the construction, right? Let's figure out the roof structure while we're putting in the, you know, the subsurface work and the ground, the stormwater retention and everything. That's all well and good, but you just don't get as clear a picture on budget when we do that. And so you don't know what this thing is going to cost. West Alabama is a good example. They're designing that project right now. They have no idea what that project's going to cost, but we're designing away. And so it concerns me that we end up with, you know, 2 feet into a project and not knowing what the end of it looks like. And that may not be suited for government work and for the taxpayers.
Well, last question we just got here on this West Alabama corridor. I mean, should we be gearing up the Ferrari for the West Alabama experience here? Where is that? How is that even moving along? Have you heard?
It seems to be moving very, very slowly. And again, I think that as we look at what is happening, you know, price wise with ballooning costs, that the likelihood that that's going to be feasible is just in doubt. It's just a matter of this thing continues to cost more and more and more. You got I-10 bridge costing more and more and more. There is a point where there is going to have to be some realization that we're unable to meet, the state's unable to meet the commitments that ALDOT's put out there, and we're going to have to make some tough decisions about which projects are moving forward and which ones are not. And to the extent that that occurs after we have the design portion done, then fine. But we've got to get some real budget numbers. And you know, you'll recall me asking ALDOT for those budget numbers on West Alabama Corridor, and they simply don't have them and have yet to provide them. And so we're going to have to know that before we really, really go a whole lot further.
Senator, as always, we appreciate your time, and we will revisit a lot of this next week.
Absolutely. Y'all enjoy this beautiful weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there, our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles.